Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you, Rachel. As we do every Friday on the Bryant Park Project, we take a look at all the news in, around, and about the conflict in Iraq, and we bring in a very smart person to help us put it all into perspective. We call it The Week in Iraq. And if you're talking about Iraq this week, you have to talk Turkey and Armenia and the PKK, the Kurdish rebel group. This week's Turkey's parliament voted overwhelmingly to approve sending troops into northern Iraq to take on the rebel group. NPR's Ivan Watson followed the vote in Ankara, and he describes the reaction from lawmakers and the Turkish media.
Within minutes, one of Turkey's more sensationalist TV channels ran a bulletin announcing, quote, "We're going to Iraq," next to footage of Turkish soldiers on patrol. Kurdish lawmaker Selahattin Demirtas says the consequences of a Turkish incursion could be catastrophic.
Our fear is that if that happens, then Turkey will be dragged into a regional conflict.
But as the spokesman for the Turkish government put it, Turkey has run out of patience.
Now here in the States, here's how President Bush responded to the Turkish resolution.
We are making it very clear to Turkey that we don't think it is in their interests to send troops into Iraq. Actually, they have troops already stationed in Iraq, and they've had troops stationed there for quite a while. We don't think it's in their interest to send more troops.
That would be resolution, Luke.
Okay.
It's a little early. On the phone from Iraq, Sudarshan Raghavan. He's the Washington Post Baghdad bureau chief. Hey, thanks for being with us.
Hey, glad to be here.
Can you give us a little bit of a reality check? How real is the possibility of Turkey invading northern Iraq?
Well, from where I am in Baghdad, it doesn't look that imminent. I mean, certainly the Iraqis are very much concerned of that kind of possibility, but they also know that both the United States and the Turkish military probably doesn't see in its interest right now to invade northern Iraq, and it could further destabilize the region, especially a region where much of Iraq's oil is currently being produced, and that could have dramatic ramifications, not just for Iraq, but for the entire world.
Now, Turkey says the United States and Iraq made a lot of promises about dealing with the Kurdish rebellion in the north, and those promises haven't been kept. So what is really stopping the U.S. and the Iraqi military forces from dealing with all of this?
Well, the main thing here is that Iraq has a lot of problems. I mean, you've got the U.S. military is focused in trying to stabilize Baghdad and stabilize volatile provinces like Diyala. The southern Iraq is also becoming a major problem in the whole Iraq equation. Certainly, I mean, the Iraqi government has clearly said that they don't appreciate the PKK in northern Iraq, and they want to stop. But at the same time, they've got so many other problems to deal with. Also, the other thing here is that the northern Iraq is basically controlled by the Kurds, and you know they're the ones patrolling the borders. They're the ones kind of dealing with it up there, and they've been doing that ever since the early 90s when they became a semi-autonomous region. So the Iraqi central government, in many ways, has very little to do with the protection of the borders up north, and in many ways can't really enforce convince the Kurds to do more to stop the PKK.
Let me ask you about the Iraqi government. I'm going to back into this a little bit. On Tuesday, there was this anniversary of sorts, 5 years since the authorization of military force in Iraq. And on that day, 12 former U.S. Army captains, they wrote an editorial in your paper, The Washington Post, and discussed what they saw as mismanagement of the war, not enough troops. And I think they wrote that the PowerPoint presentations don't get it done. But they also talked about deep corruption in Iraq and the government. Can you explain a little bit what they might be referring to?
Well, I mean, it's an open secret here that many of the ministries are extremely corrupt. In fact, there was just a GAO report, a GAO report basically that came out a couple of days ago, basically citing that for most ordinary Iraqis to get anything done, even to get things like passports and identification cards, that means paying bribes and to speed up the process. So that's basically what they're referring to, and it's been an ongoing problem.
We're talking to Sudarshan Raghavan. He's the Washington Post bureau chief. He's joining us from Baghdad. Let's get up to date on the contractor situation. Obviously, those are the folks we were talking about from Blackwater USA in the country to protect U.S. diplomats under a great deal of scrutiny for rogue behavior, including members participating in the death of Iraqi civilians. What's the status of Blackwater after this week?
Well, currently Blackwater is still operating, and you know, protecting State Department convoys, embassy vehicles, and so on. There's currently an FBI investigation going on, and both the Iraqis and the Americans are sort of looking at the FBI to come up with some sort of a conclusive determination of what happened in Nusra Square on September 16th. The Iraqis have already concluded that the Blackwater guards fired unprovoked, and they were not fired upon, and they basically committed a criminal act in which led to the deaths of 17 Iraqi civilians. But you know, the State Department, meanwhile, and the embassy has been urging caution. They've been saying that, you know, we have to wait till the investigation is completed until we get to know the real facts. So that's where we're at right now. There is a joint U.S. Iraqi commission, but they haven't been meeting as much. They've basically been waiting to see what the results of this FBI probe is going to be.
Sudarshan, this shooting from Blackwater by Blackwater has kind of obviously angered a lot of Iraqis. Now, Blackwater has been kind of taken to task here in the States. Founder was on Capitol Hill, and, you know, there's talk of them, as Allison mentioned, you know, losing that contract. Is that getting back to the Iraqi people? Do they feel assuaged at all by that?
No, I mean, almost every private security contractor, whenever there's an incident, it's immediately blamed on Blackwater. The Iraqis know the name Blackwater, and it's ingrained in their minds. And certainly people we talk to, there's still a great amount of, there's a clamoring for justice. The Iraqi government wants to see the Blackwater guards who conducted the shooting, and some even say the executives of Blackwater to be prosecuted in an Iraqi court. And of course, you know, the Blackwater and other private security companies are protected by Order 17, which was created right after the invasion, 2003 invasion, which gives them immunity from Iraqi laws. But what the Iraqi government is trying to do now is try to they've been proposing legislation that would in effect revoke this Order 17 and make private security companies more accountable for their actions inside Iraq.
Sudarshan, before I let you go, I want to acknowledge that one of the Washington Post's own reporters was killed, shot this week while reporting a story, Salif Saif al-Din. What do you want people to know about him?
Thank you for asking. Saleh was a remarkable man, and he was pretty much the most courageous journalist I've ever known in my career, and I've been covering conflicts the past 17 years, and he was a very important to our bureau, and we're certainly going to miss him. He's also a reminder of how much we depend on our Iraqi colleagues to cover this conflict. I mean, they're the ones who are constantly on the front lines. They're the ones because many of us Western reporters are unable to move as freely as they are, and Saleh was just that. You know, he was in a dangerous area, but he was there to uncover the truth in an area where most Iraqis wouldn't go in, but he had the courage to do it, and he had been there several times before as well. Courage beyond imagination. That's the only way I can describe him.
Sudarshan Raghavan, Washington Post Baghdad bureau chief. Thank you so much for your time, and you please be safe.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Coming up on the BPP, memories of Black Monday. It was 20 years ago today that the stock market took its kind of worst ever tumble, certainly by percentage as a measure, and we're wondering, of course, could it happen again, or can I retire now from the BPP?
An interesting conversation on the way with Myra Kallman, a year in the mind of the author and the illustrator. You've seen her covers on The New Yorker. You've probably seen her cartoons in the magazine as well. That's coming up. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.